Namotasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namotasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namotasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Sake of all beings, wisdom, compassion, and non-clinging awareness. And contemplating compassion for all beings. As I too experience freedom, may all other beings experience freedom. Okay, you've got to help me with the chocolate. The 100% Venezuelan chocolate. Help out. Help me. Help me. It's compassion.
How did you find this one?
I like it. I think it's pretty good. The nice leaves a smooth feeling in the body. The other one was very rough, I found. But it's a personal thing.
It's always the same.
When in doubt, always the same. Is a political party?
Sports?
Oh, regatta.
Oh, regatta?
Maybe a rowing.
The school is going straight, one has a big field on the side. Tim's riding bikes, like a riding.
I always love doing this, asking what is it? And not because I'm interested, but it's always good to feel the mind when we all come up with a different story. Because the human being loves stories, you know? Mm-hmm. It wants to know what the story was all the time. It's fantastic. I love watching it. You know, you get 6-7 people in a room and you go, so what was that? You know, well, it was this, it was that, and then I was this. And we love telling stories. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic how we love telling stories. I'm always intrigued by the listening, going, wow, such a strong part of the human being. To write the novel, you know, mm-hmm. write the novel, or novella. It's okay, you finish off.
Well, all right.
If you insist. So, any questions from anything? Not almost anything. Buddha Dharma, meditation. Anything coming out, or things you have read, or yes?
About a bird you mentioned to in answer to Andreas, purification.
Good. In Pali, the word for purification is visuddhi. Visuddhi. And you see, all of these 16 stages, 16, is visuddhi. Visuddhi. But when we come to deep purification, we use a word, we say visuddhi jnana. Okay, so we have visuddhi and then N-A-N-A. N-A-N-A, jnana. And jnana means knowledge. So really, visuddhis, purification, is purification through understanding, but not intellectual understanding. Physiological, got it. So in each of these what's called tetrads, in each of these tetrads, from 1 to 12 can be tranquility without real purification, not with deep purification, but you feel very good, loving, yeah, good training. Only when you come to 12, especially 13 to 16, is purification through insight. Okay? So I'm going to describe that, exactly that. So in terms of purification, I could spend 1 month teaching this over and over again. It's so important. How purification works. Well, I'll explain in a second. Give an example. You see, the entire teaching of liberation is about non-clinging. Yes? Okay. That's the purification. That's really the purification. That's the ultimate purification. Because it gives the freedom to be compassionate. All good qualities come out of that. But when it comes to actually meditating or contemplating non-clinging, what gets stuck? This is purification. What actually gets stuck?
Channels.
Yeah, because the action, the intention mind, only goes a certain way. So I was very, very happy to see that you shared the chocolate. I noticed that. You shared the chocolate. Other people would just maybe somebody else would just go like this. That's to do with purification. Because it's about non-clinging. What do you do? What does your intention mind do? So when you say purification, we actually mean purification of the intention mind, the chetana, of the karmic patterns that create a story. So one story could be, thank you, that's my chocolate now. That's okay. One story could be, I must share it with everybody, you know? So you have this one little piece, I can't have it myself. Break it apart and for 20 minutes give it out to everybody. Share it with everybody and make sure that everybody has a piece, yes? Or you give it only to your partner. Not just because they're close, but you go over. Your partner's over there, and they go across the room. Here, or your daughter. You know, you give it to your daughter. You see? So purification is also about the flow of the intention, the habit patterns of the intention mind that get stuck in the breath. Because as soon as you breathe openly, everything can change. The potential is like. Who here has never sailed a sailboat? Skippered a sailboat. Could you?
I suppose I could.
But you might, if you're in a certain state, say, I can't. Mm. You know how many times I've said, would you like to, I can't. Mm. How about this? How would you like to join me? Can't. How would you, can't. Would you like some, can't. The first word that comes out is can't. No, I shouldn't. Or, I won't. Or, yes, and they can't. You see, so how you feel in your breathing, how you feel in your skin, in your body, is very much about purification, about what is possible. How about this? Who would like to go to Mars? I know people say, no, I will not go to Mars. I must be on the planet Earth. It's important to be here. Do you see? Who would like to become a fully enlightened being? Some people say, no, oh no, I can't do that. What would my friends think? Really? Yeah, really. What would my friends think? Maybe I would lose my friends. Or my dog. I don't know, maybe a dog. My dog would not like me anymore. So this is purification. I'm joking, but it's true. For instance, I'll give you an example. A lady in Canada, for many years, I've known her for many, many years, her husband moved on, left to go and study in the East, and she phoned Crystal Mountain, where I live, and she says, I want to come to Lama Mark's retreat this summer, but I have two dogs. So Crystal Mountain, we have a policy, no dogs, because everybody takes care of the dog. You know, has to feed the dog, take care of the dog. She says, well, then I can't come. So someone says, why don't you take the dogs to a kennel? No, you see, they've been in a movie. The dogs have been in a movie. They're very precious dogs. They're movie stars. Every year. I think this last year not. But every year, she wants to come to retreat. No, the dogs can go to the kennel. The home. No, they are too precious for the kennel. They've been in a movie. You see? Do you get the idea? This is because there is no breath somewhere. If that breath opened, there's always a possibility of anything. Anything. So it's all about the karmic, the intention mind formations that block the possibility of freedom, of just non-clinging openness. Anything is possible, including full enlightenment, complete enlightenment. Many people say, I can't, in their mind, they'll maybe in class they'll go, I want enlightenment. Inside they go, I'll never do it. No way, that's not possible. Why not? Of course it's possible. Anybody can. Not everybody. If you're healthy, you can. If you're just regularly healthy, non-psychotic, you can be. Many people who've had terrible physical illness and mental difficulties have become supremely enlightened because they've worked at it. You just have to make a decision. It's a decision. It's all about decision. Does the mind go that way? If you don't know it, it can never go. So much of teaching, of Dharma, is introducing the possibility. This is so important. People think, especially in North America, I don't know about Europe, but especially in North America, there is this popular idea, I can do everything myself. I don't need a teacher. Not even for Dharma. Anything. I'll learn to play the guitar myself. I'll learn science myself. I'll learn it from a book. I'll learn it from the internet. Oh, met a fellow in New Zealand. For 10 years, he's been studying meditation off the internet. He comes to me and says, I'm very experienced. Good. I said, who have you been studying with? That's off the internet. Meditation from the internet. I try this, I try that, try this, I try that. He's a mess. But it's very safe because he has no teacher. You see? So, no one can introduce to him the things necessary that he needs when he needs it. Do you follow? So much about life is encountering what you need at the time, in the way you need to hear it, to reshape the karmic formations, the intention, how the life gets built. It's very, very important. So what really is purification? So I'm going to make a jump now, because it's number 14. Maybe this will help. I brought this for this purpose. See? You understand the equation? Well, this is the equivalence of the electromagnetic and the weak force, and this is with the strong force, and this is the Higgs boson equation. This is the prediction of what the Higgs boson does, which is controls mass, is the controller or the intermediate for mass, and this is what the Higgs boson does. These are the four important equations that CERN is exploring. Now, I didn't bring that for this purpose. Actually, they've just released in the emails going around from the scientists at CERN, they found it. But they have to have the double check and maybe 2 years of proof. So they're already talking about it, that they found it. But they will not officially say anything at all. But they're leaking emails because they're saying, we got it. But they cannot publish until they get the other detector with proof, and they build up enough sightings. So they're pretty sure they have it, but who knows? We'll find it. Maybe they didn't. So when you take a new t-shirt like this, is full of dyes, D-Y-E. Farb. Germany, very famous Farb. Most famous country for dyes. Stole it from the British. You should know that. Now, the Brits, in 1852, the British, what's his name? Very famous Brit. He discovered mauve. It's like this color? Mauve. Okay? This started the entire petrochemical, pharmaceutical, and dye industry. He was looking for how to make synthetically quinine, because the wars with Britain to get quinine was getting very expensive. So they wanted to make quinine. He had a German teacher in England. Quinine? Quinine. Quinine, quinine, for anti-malaria. But what he discovered was a purple, a mauve, almost this color, was a purple color. And his teacher, who was German, said, forget it. We want quinine, quinine, quinine. So he went home and he set up a home lab at home. And he worked for about 1 year because he found the color. He said, this is important. His teacher said, no, not important. He knew it was worth it. So he made the first synthetic dye called mauve. And it was so popular, he was very wealthy. But the British could not see the real importance and did not have the capital to develop the dye industry. So it went to Germany. And the Germans invested heavily in dyes, which led to the development of the pharmaceutical industry, Bayer. Yeah? Anyways, that's the history. I wasn't going to talk about that. Okay. So, dye is important. This has a dye in it. But if you don't know it has a dye in it, you don't know it's actually white cotton. Okay? So the word in Pali for dye is raga, R-A-G-A, raga. You know that word? Ragas, you know the Indian ragas? Is the emotional play, the emotions, the ragas. You play the ragas on the sitar, yeah? And they are the play of the emotions, of the passions. The passions, yeah? Okay. So if you don't know that this is a dye, then all you experience is the ragas, the singing, the songs, but you don't know it's actually white cotton. Okay, what happens if you put this in boiling hot water? Sometimes. Yeah, especially if it's from a certain country. Not from Germany, or not from Switzerland, not from Switzerland, but is from, where's this one from? Sometimes. I won't say where. Okay. So, do you understand? What happens if you put this in hot water is new. You put it in hot water, what happens sometimes?
All your other clothes will sing the same raga.
Pardon?
All your other clothes will also sing the same raga.
That's right. Exactly. They get the same raga. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the raga is like a virus. It infects all the other clothes, yes? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's exactly the same thing. That's number 14 on there, is the raga. Okay? When the process of liberation is the dye begins to come out because it goes in the water. It has to get washed. Washed away. If you don't use awareness for insight, then the dye stays. It gets in all the other clothing. Did you follow the metaphor? If you don't wash it properly, visuddhi, purification, if you don't wash it, it gets into the other clothes and stays to come back another day. So normally what you do is when you used to, not anymore, it's against the law I think now, is you take this and you wash it in the stream, in the river. Where does it go? It goes out to the North Sea. Is that right? From here?
Yeah.
North Sea. It goes out. It's gone. What do we normally do? I like my passion. I like my anger. I like my greed. I like my jealousy. I like my rage. You keep it. I don't like it, but I do like it. Do you see? So you keep it. And what it does, it flows and comes back another day and infects other people. Hey, Rita, you know, I got a problem with this person over here, you know. So now I give it to you. And you turn around, right, and you give it to Teresa. You say, hey, Teresa, he doesn't like... We talk and we gossip, yes? Mm-hmm. And then Teresa, you know, and then you maybe 100 other people, look at the sailboat. It's not sailing properly, you know. So you spread it around and you spread the virus, the dye. Where does the dye have to go? It has to go out. It really has to go out. It has to go out the river and flow out into the sea. Otherwise, what happens? It's there for again and again and again and again. So this is actually the meaning of purification. Has it gone out? Has the dye, that's the actual meaning, taint or dye, D-Y-E, Faber, has it actually been purified by going out? out, out. Wear it out, wear it out. So what's the other method? We can use hot water. And hot water doesn't always get the dye out, does it? Doesn't work always. Now the dyes are very good. So what do you have to do to get the dye out?
Maybe salt? I don't know.
Bleach. Hydrogen peroxide. Sodium hypochlorite. Yeah? You need strong stuff. Mm-hmm. Vajrapani. You see? On the bottom, Vajrapani. Sometimes the flow is not strong enough with Chenrezig. You need Vajrapani. What's the other method? So there's three. You need the bleach. You need the warm water, hot water, water to flow out, to go swimming. Baptism. Baptism. What's the other method? Buy a new t-shirt. This would be the modern method. I didn't think of that. It's the modern method.
Just.
No, other method. You rub it. You rub it. You blade it. You blade it until, like your shirt, until it fades. It just fades. It goes in the hot sun or in the bright sun. Or you wear away the color. Over time, it fades away. A lot of liberation is number three. It fades away because awareness over time, mindfulness over time, takes the color out. Do you see? So there's three ways. One is the washing method. They all are the same. Ultimately, they're the same. Washing method, chlorine bleach, strong, very, very strong. Yeah? Or hydrogen peroxide. And the other is you just wear it away, wear it away, wear it away until it all disappears. It's called fading away, fading away. So you see number 14 is fading away. And that's exactly how it is described in the old texts, fading away until nothing is left. But what? What's left? What's left?
Awareness.
Awareness. Bright, loving awareness. That's what's left. You don't need the dyes. So what's the best emotion? Awareness. Okay. Number 13. Contemplating impermanence. Now, let me go back to 12. When you come to number 12, you experience for the first time the freedom of the mind. You taste the freedom of the mind. Like the great coffee or a superb Darjeeling. You go, that is tea. Now I know what tea is like. Yeah? Did you follow? Mm-hmm. The great tea, the great coffee, or the great speech. You hear a great speech. You hear a great singing. You go, oh my God, that's amazing. You have an idea. You go, this is now possible. You see, it's so simple. If you live in a culture that says that the best life is a rich life, you have everything, yes? Then that is what's in your habit pattern, in your karmic patterns. If you lived in a culture that said freedom of the mind and compassion is the highest attainment for a human being, there would be no doubt in your being that you could do it. Do you follow? It's very simple. It's called conditioning. If the idea of liberation, of full Buddhahood, is there from when you're a child, and it's part of the culture, then you believe it. Even if you don't do it, you know it can be done. It's part of the culture. Make sense? This is not part of the culture, so now it's more difficult. It's not more difficult. It is more, you need to spend more time feeling your way in because the doubt is there that you can do it. Why? Because it's a foreign idea. In India, even in Europe, the idea of being married to God, you know marriage to God? In the Christian mystical tradition, the marriage to God was very common. People knew it could be done. Until maybe 200 years ago. All kinds of people. But now, no, what is the highest thing? The most money. Success in money, success in family, success, 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 success. It doesn't make people happy. So, unless you have a taste of something, you simply don't have confidence. This is so easy. Does this make sense to you? If you have a taste, you've tasted it once, like mango, if you say, I'm describing to you a fruit, watch, a fruit, it is this big. Oh, okay, no, not mango. Okay, mango. You've never seen, so it is round like this, shaped like this. You know, you describe it perfectly, mango. And you describe it, and people go, yeah, I can feel that. You know, I can kind of get the idea that that tastes like amazing fruit. But once you've tasted a mango, you never forget, correct? Mm-hmm. Then you have absolute confidence there are mangoes in the world. There are pineapples in the world. This is exactly how it is. So you have to get the human being to have a real taste of freedom. And then there's never a doubt again in their life. This is what it's like to be human. This is exactly what it is. Is the taste that is so definitive, is so clear, that there's absolute confidence that freedom is the thing a human being should do. Does it make sense? It's very easy. After that, it's fun. Now it's fun. Because after that, the person comes to you very differently. They always approach you differently. Not, can you help me so much, but let us explore. Mm-hmm. What's the exploration for more freedom? Mm-hmm. Before that is, I'm not really sure what I should be doing. I'm not really sure I should be doing this. Do you think I really need to? See, it's a very different conversation. After that, all changes. The human being knows exactly what they need to do. It's then some support sometime, or reminder of how it's done, but not that it can be done. So before enlightenment, before first stage of enlightenment, it is, I don't even know if it can be done, but you're saying it can be done, so I believe you. But doubts, you see? Doubts, all kinds of doubts, emotional doubts, conflict. Yeah? And in the mind, it's like this, watch. Yeah, I know liberation's good, but if I found the right boyfriend or girlfriend, that would be better. You know what I mean? In other words, yes, I know liberation, enlightenment, would be really worth doing, but I bet if I had a new job, or I bet if I got a new sailboat, if I had a better sailboat, that would really make me happy. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. But only after a true experience of freedom, of transcendental, is there absolute certainty that that is actually what is freedom, what is happiness. All the rest is called mundane. It's nice, but it doesn't last. It's nice, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with having a new sailboat. You can have both. But you know that one is mundane. The other is extraordinary. The other is what makes people really happy. What really makes a being full human expression. Not the sailboat. Not the job. But you can have both. You can have a good job. You can even have a good sailboat. You can even have a good partner. It's possible. Right? But don't believe that that is ultimate happiness. Do you see?
It's the opposite. If you got the one, then you have the choice of having a sailboat or a boyfriend or whatever. The freedom.
Yes, the freedom.
Yeah.
The freedom. Yeah.
Then you've got the choice.
You've got choice.
Yeah.
So this is where number 12 comes in. Number 12 is the experience of freedom. It's the liberation. The clouds come off, you experience the calm, clear, liberated mind, and you know what it is. Now, there are people that experience the calm, clear, ocean mind that's extraordinary, and they still don't recognize it. So I want to use the word recognition. Do you understand? Recognition. You now know what it is. So some people experience it, but they don't know what it is. A wonderful, if you read a book in English, maybe translated into German, a wonderful book called Woman. Ever seen this book, Woman? By Natalie Ange. She was the science writer for the New York Times. It's a very, I think it's a won the Pulitzer Prize. It's a beautiful, all about women, the mind and physiology of a woman. It's a beautiful book. And in that book, three-quarters of the way through the book, she just sits down for a morning coffee at her home. Maybe grapefruit juice. I think she's having breakfast. And she's just sitting there. She describes this. And the universe opens. It just opens. It's a perfect description of the transcendental. Just boom. Everything is just perfection. And total openness and possibility. And she describes this. And then she goes, oh well, I wonder what that was. And then she continues on. No recognition. My heart went out to her. I said, oh, if you only had a teacher. This is when you need a teacher. This is when you need a Dharma teacher, right now. Because this could actually change your entire life. So some people experience this in their life, and then watch. Oh, sailing. Oh yeah, I think we'll get a sailboat. Maybe 10 years later, 15, 30 years later, they come back when they meet a mind. They go, oh my God. I've met people like that. They come to a Dharma teaching and go, oh my God, I remember what that was. Why didn't I do so? I mean, I've met people like that. They come to a Dharma, they just go like this. It's amazing sometimes. I can actually see their face when it happens. They go, oh my God. And they remember that they'd actually experienced freedom, but they never knew what it was. They never got it at the time. And now they're hearing it for the first time. Even they read a book. Yeah. Dalai Lama says, yeah. But they hear it, and the life changes. They go, oh my God. This has happened to me many times. Many times. Even someone in my family once. It was amazing. Just went, oh my God. I know what that is. Is something. And some people in our society never hear it until they're 75 years old. I met someone like that. She studies with me now. She's 75, I think so, 76 years old. And she came to one Dharma talk, and after she says, how come no one ever told me about this? She was mad. My whole life, I've had to suffer, and no one ever told me this. This is amazing. And she was just like that. She was right in. Now she's doing 3-month retreats. She's fantastic. 79 years old. And she is keen. And she was mad. She goes, damn it, no one ever told me the Dharma. My whole life. That's not fair. Just dang it. So this is about developing confidence. So for instance, in Dzogchen, first the recognition, the taste, and then you develop the confidence. And then many years of developing confidence, 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 confidence. Okay. So that's number 12. Number 12 is the first taste. What is liberation? Number 13 is now, really, is anicca, dukkha, anatta. First, number 13 is you contemplate anicca, impermanence, impermanence, impermanence. With every breath, with every out-breath, you experience impermanence, contemplation of impermanence. Okay? not meditation, anupassana. Over and over and over again. Now what happens, see, is you do it over and over and over again, but sometimes you need more anupassana. You meditate a bit on this, you meditate a bit on this, to bring out the richness of impermanence. It's very vast. Number 14, contemplating fading away. Now you see that the translation, viraga. This is the raga is the dye. This is the washing away. Washing away. How does it wash away? It's so straightforward. The raga, the greed, hatred, delusion, pride, jealousy. That's all you need for insight meditation. You don't need sadness. You don't need loneliness. You only need something simple. Simple, simple. Greed, hatred, delusion. Or greed, hatred, delusion, pride, and jealousy. That's all. Keep it simple. Yeah. So, when there is jealousy, is emotional feeling in the mind, feeling in the body. Yes? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is a dye. Coloration of the pure white shirt. How does it fade out? How does it get liberated? Impermanence. It can't stick if the mind is aware. Do you follow? Mm-hmm. It cannot stick if the mind is aware, it's going to fall apart. If it's not aware, it stays. If it's aware, it's like putting bleach on it. It turns all white. Do it over and over and over and over and over again until you know it's gone. Not a little bit left. You see? Is there any chocolate left? Are you sure?
Yes.
The chocolate's gone, yes? Mm-hmm. What do some people do? I wish I had more chocolate. If only I had more chocolate, I would feel like... Mm-hmm. What's the feeling in your body from the chocolate? Is it good? Okay. Do you want more? Yes. Yeah. So you want more. So some people, the dye, the raga, is what? Greed. I want more chocolate because I want to feel a certain way. Correct? So what does that do? It doesn't allow you to have a new chocolate. You want an old chocolate. So it's not fresh. So impermanence is... the experience of what? It's done. It's complete. The next thing has now arisen. It's the ability to let the dye come out and not hold on to the memory and the feeling of the dye. You allow the new universe to appear, not the memory of the old universe. Do you hear it? That is the importance of insight meditation. It's a new universe right now. You know, it's a new universe right now. No, it's a new universe right now. Every second, every millisecond is another universe. What does the human conscious normally do? I want the old universe. I want the memory of when it was good. Or if you're a masochist, I want the memory of when it was bad. It's the way it is.
Is this similar like when you say the different breath in one breath? Is this because the mind always, while you breathe, the mind always makes, I breathe. It always repeats. How do you say?
I think I know what you're saying.
So that's how it gets a new breath, because you always recognize.
Yeah, but it's always a new breath. But you know how you say, oh, that's my emotion again? That's me again? That's me. There is no same me. It's a different being. There's no ever the same breath, ever. Only a wanting for a certain breath. You can never repeat the same breath twice. You can never have the same idea twice. You can never have the same emotion twice. You never have the same feeling twice. Only memory makes it the same. Keeps it constant. It's a little area. Is it here or here? It's a little group of neurons right here that keep things steady, gives you the illusion of steadiness. If you knock it out, you don't care. You don't care. I don't know if that's quite what you're asking. Maybe not.
Just about, that's what I'm wondering is when you say to breathe, that you breathe in one breath, you told.
There are many breaths within one breath?
Yes.
Yes.
So I just was wondering if this, those are the many more breath in one breath, because.
No, not quite the same. No, more breaths in one breath is the ability to recognize more states. Before, it's one state. Like, for instance, there's one flower. There's one. When you look at the flower, you just see the flower. But when you see many breaths, you see each individual petal as unique. As unique. And then you start to see more. And then you see more. And you see more. And you see more. And you see more. Give me an example. When you walk to the car and you do it once, it's fresh, yes? When you do it a second time, is it fresh? A third time, is it fresh? Can you walk to the car? Can you go to the kitchen? Is a new experience completely every single time. Completely fresh. It is fresh. It's a totally different experience. But the mind, not the mind, the conditioning makes it similar, makes it feel like it's the same. Do you see? Is it fresh? Is it really spontaneous and new? This is important. So listen to the illusion. Something falls, something ends. Or here's a story, here's a good one. Now you have a chocolate, but you have the memory of the old chocolate. Can you actually pick up and taste the new chocolate for what it is, or is it always about the old chocolate? I really wanted the old chocolate. I really wanted the old chocolate. You remember the meditation? Pragam, you remember the meditation 1965? How good it was?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was amazing. You know that one? How could I forget? So you sit down and meditate, and as soon as you meditate, you go to sit and meditate. Will it happen again? It will never happen again. Mm-hmm. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Never happen again. You have to allow absolute freshness in. You don't know what's going to happen. That's the beauty of life. The clinging is, I want to repeat the same pattern over and over again, which is the die. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the freshness of possibility. Who knows what's going to happen? Right? Who knows? Life is impossible. It's messy. You don't know. Thank you. You're getting trained.
I am.
Put it down again. Once it's fallen. It's fallen. Can you let it go? Mm-hmm. Watch your breath and you'll see you don't let it go. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. The breath is very difficult because you don't let it go. You hold on with the breath and can't let the breath go. Because what are you scared of?
Dying.
You're holding on. So what happens? The breath gets caught, stuck. So you see it in the face. And your face can get twisted. Neck can get twisted. Body gets twisted. We've seen this, eh? You know, people, you see them walk down the street and you go, oh my God. Years of twisting. And all they need is maybe one lesson in Feldenkrais and they wouldn't even be the same. Just twisted, 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 twisted. Holding a pattern they believe is life. You've probably heard my story. I'll tell you what it's like. This is how I see life. Okay? You're outside and you're gardening. You know, you're putting in a garden. And there's a hole. You know, like a rabbit hole? There's a rabbit hole. And you're curious, because you're a curious person, and you stick your hand down the rabbit hole. Right? And it gets stuck. And you can't get it out. There's nobody around. And you cannot get the arm out. What happens? You have to stay there. But it's good because you're in a garden, you can feed yourself. So you can reach out and you can get tomatoes. But your arm is stuck in there. And you can eat the grass and you're crying out, help! But nobody's listening. People walk by all the time, but they don't listen. They just think you're having fun. Your arm's down a rabbit hole. I go, well, that's weird. It's weird, but you know, you see other people do weird things. They go in sailboats. They just went in a canoe. They do all kinds of run along the beach, all kinds of weird things. You go, okay. Isn't that right? We do that all the time. People, you know, you see someone on the street, do I? You go, oh, it's okay. Or they're, you know, sometimes you see them like this. You think that's okay. Or they got a thing in their ear and they're just talking. Bah, la, 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 la. You know, talking. You go, oh, it's okay. Right? Okay. So this person has their arm down a rabbit hole like this. And they can eat. But after 1 month, what happens? What happens after 1 month?
There's no more food.
No, there is food. You have to play the game. You have to play the game, Teresa. There still is food. Okay, no problem. You get used to it. And now you're a human being that's lying on the ground, and you sleep with your arm in the hole, and you're used to now with one hand, yes? And your left hand gets very good at doing things. You can write notes. You can play the piano. You can use it for getting food. You can scratch yourself. Do you see? Mm-hmm. And over 1 year, you go, well, that's what it's like to be human. Mm-hmm. Do you see? What happens when you pull the arm out? Someone comes by and says, what are you doing? What do you mean what I'm doing? My arm's down the hole. Well, what are you doing? You don't have to be like that. Yes, I do. You watch. The arm is in the hole for 1 year. This is the way I am. You know that look? You know the look? I am like this. I am a person with my arm down the hole. I'm very proud. I have mastered this. This is me. This is now me. But you don't have to be like that. Yes, I do. Who are you to say I don't? Okay, fine. Okay, fine, 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 fine. Someone else comes along. You know, you could pull your arm out of the hole. No, I can't. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I cannot. Yes, you could. No, I can't. Why is your arm stuck? Well, last year it got stuck. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be stuck now. Is this making sense? Mm-hmm. What's it like when you pull your arm out of a hole after 1 year? It's going to hurt like crazy, isn't it? Isn't that going to be weird? You're going to pull the arm out and go, ah, ah, what is this? And it's going to feel very, very strange and uncomfortable. So you don't want to pull your arm out anymore. Make sense? Mm. This is exactly the same situation we find ourselves in. We do this all the time in life. We won't pull our arm out. We won't do something new because we're used to the way the dye, you know, the fabric is, the color of the fabric. And we cannot hear the possibility of something very new. Is the case. So what brings real newness in? To experience that every single moment of consciousness is a new experience. That really does it. That brings confidence. That every single moment of consciousness is a completely new birth of the universe. This is not intellectual. It must be real. It must be physiological. Yeah? No doubt about it. The self is never the same moment to moment. We know in physiology, You used to say every 7 years the human being, all the cells change. Physiologically, you're not the same person. Well, it's now, it's about 4.5, actually. 4.5 years. Every 4.5 years, you're not actually even the same being. What keeps you feeling the same? You see, it's funny. Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm.
What actually keeps the feeling that you are the same person as 5 years ago when you're not? How many people feel they're the same person as 3 years ago? You feel the same? Yeah, 3 years ago? Same person. 10 years ago? 20 years ago? 30 years ago? When you were a baby? Same person? When? When did it make a change? How about yesterday? Same person as yesterday? You're not. Never. That's where you have to get down to. Not because someone tells you, but because you actually do it at the micro. So when we talk about Vipassana, Vipassana is like microscopic looking. Microscopic. More microscopic. More micro. Like they do at CERN. Deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until the universe opens up. So you see, what is the program at CERN? What is this? I know it's a t-shirt. Zen question. What is this? It's a description of how the universe is. That's what they're trying to do. So CERN, they're trying to get higher and higher energies to do what? Go back to the first moments of the Big Bang. So they're going smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller in time to do what? The big picture. And Vipassana is like that too. You go smaller and 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 smaller until it opens. Until the universe opens. That's how the process is. More detail, more detail, more detail, more detail until the universe opens. Let's go back to the text. I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to stop at 4 o'clock. That will be a miracle. I'll try. So fading away. Fading away, by the way, is dukkha. Each one of these corresponds impermanence. Number 14 is dukkha. And number 15 is anatta. This is where it corresponds. Number 14, fading away is dukkha. Each one of these corresponds to anicca, dukkha, anatta. Fading away? Fading away is the pain, no, the clinging around things being permanent. Let me explain. Back to the dye. To get to the dye, the fading, you have to first experience, it really is important to first experience impermanence. Okay? When you come to fading, you experience the clinging of keeping the dye in the fabric. Does that make sense? You hold on to the dye as if the dye is important. This is dukkha. But you need the anatta to let go. Anatta makes you let go. Why? Because you can't hold on. Can you hold on to any breath? Try it right now. Let's try it. How long? How long can you go? You see? Eventually what happens? You have to take a breath. You either die or you take a breath. Yes? Correct? Well, imagine if you do that every day, 10 hours, 15 hours a day, and you're watching the breath. What's going to happen? you'll become convinced that the breath always changes, and because the breath is connected to the mind, every mind state, then you're going to see that every single mind state arises and passes away. There's no other way to see it. As Namjoon Rinpoche once said, Vipassana is like a baseball, you know, baseball bat? American baseball bat? Over the head. Whap, whap, until you get it. Whap, it's not subtle. Whap, 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 breathe, keep breathing. Whap, hold your breath. Whap. You know, great Zen story. You've heard the Zen story? It actually happened. Okay, the Zen master is with the student. Okay? And the Zen master says, you know, this is normal with teachers, you know. Come out with me on a canoe. We're going to go across the lake in a canoe, right? Would you like to come out with a canoe ride with me? Okay, yeah, yeah. I want to be with my master, with the Roshi. So they go out in a canoe, and it's a beautiful day, you know. And the Zen master says to the student, look in the water. So, of course, the student is a good student. Yes? And the Roshi takes the head and pushes it in the water and goes, bah! And says, bah! And is trying to breathe. So eventually the teacher goes, what do you want? Oh, no, it's not good enough. Back in, you see? And I, freedom! Good. Okay, that's not so good. Anyway. Just kidding. You have to get to the point that it becomes apparent, it becomes absolutely so crystal clear, there's nothing you can hold on to. That's why the breath is used, because the clinging is so tight. Other things you can let go of, right? I can let go of my watch. I can let go. It's not so hard, right? We go, okay, so you say to people say to me, I know impermanence. I can give you my book. They do that. Or, I can give you a piece of chocolate. It's okay, I can give you a piece of chocolate. Or they go, yeah, I could give up my house. Yeah, okay, I really probably could give up my sailboat. If you really want my car, I can give you my car, okay? Right? Isn't that easy? Okay, $1,000? I can give $1,000. I'm very generous, I can give $1,000. What happens with the breath? You can see everything with the breath because it's your life. What's going to happen if you let go of the breath? What's going to happen? The worst thing that could happen. The worst. What would happen? You'd die. That's the worst thing that could happen, right? Isn't that correct? Are you? No. You're not going to die. But something says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't stop control of the breath. Think about the breath. It's very deep. The clinging is very, very, very deep. So we use the breath. It's okay to use the watch. That's where you start Dharma. Teachers start that way. Let's see your watch. Thank you very much. Let's see your credit card. Okay, thank you. Very good. No, that's where you start, generosity, right? You start with generosity, always with generosity. Can you make a nice meal? Can you give a nice coffee? Can you make tea for people? Can you provide for a retreat? Can you make beautiful art? Can you sing for everybody? Do you see? Higher and higher and higher. More generosity, more generosity, more generosity. That builds what? Non-clinging. It's a direct route to non-clinging. Purification. Non-clinging. You have to. And then what do you come to? Breath. Because it's tough. To give up the clinging to breath? Very tough. Why? Because every breath has a state of consciousness attached. Can you let them all go? Let them all go. Let them all go. Let them all go. Let the breath be. Very direct. So this is why the fading works. The fading works because you've experienced transiency, the coming and going so much, there's no other possibility left. You realize you cannot hold on to anything at all. Nothing is yours, not even breath. Nothing. It's completely imagined clinging. All the stickiness is totally imagined. All to do with mental states. It's fabrication. I think that's same in fabrique.
Fabrication.
Yeah. Okay, so that's dukkha. The dukkha is the breath going like this and holding on to the breath when all the breath wants to do is be free. That's all the breath wants to do, you know, is be free. And the mind is going, you're going to be like this, and you're going to be like this, and you're going to be like this. And what do we mean? And how does that manifest in daily life? It's easy. I'm going to be the great Lama. That's the breath. I'm going to be the great dad. I'm going to be the perfect mom. I'm going to be so successful in business. Nothing's going to stop me. I will be. That's the breath. That becomes the breath. I am this. I am that. And every bit of energy goes into making that. Do you see? This is why breath is so important. It's liberation. Because every breath is held in that state. This is who I am. Let it go and you change. You have to let go in your guts. So this eventually goes here. Can you do that? Nice and loose? Down here, loose. No resistance. Loose, loose, loose. Like jello. You know jello? Do you have jello?
Mm-hmm.
Jello.
Jelly.
Jelly. Mm-hmm. Like jelly. Completely like jelly, free. This will connect to the. This connects to here. Head. Thinking. Clear thinking. This connects to speech. Speech, the ability to communicate out and in. This will connect to your heart. This will connect to your belly eventually. This will connect to your genitals. It has to be done. That's purification too. So as the breath flows, it starts to open those areas. This has to get open, because this is what produces the babies. Down here in the womb is the babies. For men and women is where the babies come from. I mean baby in terms of manifestation. This is the womb. You have to get down in the womb and purify the womb. Way down where it comes out, bubbles up, bubbles up, bubbles up. So breath is really important. And number 15, contemplating cessation. Nirodha. Nirodha. Nirodha is the technical term for liberation. Finished. But also, you see, cessation is also anatta, that there is really nothing there that you thought was there.
Can I explain again what cessation?
Cessation means completely finished, completely done. If you go to the kitchen, salt and water. This will do it. Salt or sugar and water. Salt and water, sugar and water. I like demonstrations. Science experiments. I like science experiments. Alchemy. Do the experiment. Watch. Is it going? Is it going? Cessation. Fading and cessation. Watch. Fading and cessation. Gone. Fading, gone. It's fun, eh? We could do this for hours. I like doing that. What do you need to do this? What are you going to have to do this work?
Loving kindness.
Something else, yes? What else?
Concentration.
Concentration, what else? These are things you have to do this. Practice. Hmm? Interest?
Calm.
Hmm?
Awareness.
Awareness. But you're going to need something earlier on. Otherwise, you cannot practice Vipassana.
This is the question.
Yes? Something else. Something that is rare today.
Faith.
Hmm?
Faith.
Faith, yes. Even rarer today. Even rarer. Many
time.
People do not have.
Time.
Even rarer. They will get the time.
Patience.
If you don't have the patience, you will miss the cessation. I'll give you actually work to do. Okay, meditation? You need a clear day with no clouds. And you sit for however long it takes to see a cloud come out of the blue sky. You don't know if it's 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Do you have the patience? Test. And do you have the patience to watch it fade? It's for real. Can you do it? If you cannot do it, then you really can't practice. You can't really, really practice Vipassana. Because you will always break it too early. Like this, the sugar in the water? Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it. No, you have to go right to the end where you see it gone. Again and again and again. Every 100 milliseconds. Do, until it goes, whew, it changes. Can you watch for hours every little movement in the lake? For hours. Watch every detail of the lake changing for hours. Each one fresh, each one new. Or do you get irritated? Purification. You see what happens? After 1 hour, 20 minutes, 2 hours, the nerves in the fingers, the tension in the body starts to get up there. And every thought, excuse, I really should go for pizza. That would be better. Meditation would be pizza. I really should go phone my friends. That would be a better meditation. Anything but. So to see something right to the end, to the very end, over and over and over again, this is very important. And catch the beginning, but especially the end. And that end is Nirodha, cessation, 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 cessation. You know it's finished. Never be the same. It's done. It's finished. Otherwise, you can never start new. You're holding, you're clinging to the old. Like the self. Is the self ever the same moment to moment? Never. Ever, ever, ever is the self the same. It only appears the way due to clinging. When there's no clinging, you feel totally new every moment. Some of you have experienced that. Yeah. Every moment, totally new, fresh. Only clinging makes it unfresh. And then number 16, contemplating relinquishment. That means you have knowledge that release has taken place. You contemplate that freedom has actually really taken place. This is real. You know it. Jealousy has vanished. Uh-oh, it's come back. again and again and again, it's done. It is done. It is done. It is done. It is gone. It's gone out. It's gone out. That is called relinquishment. You train over and over and over and over and over again. Release. Yeah? Release means it's finished. It's clear.
It's clear.
You know it's clear. I'm not so sure. No. Relinquish means it is clear. Your voice is clear. Your body is clear. Your mind is clear. It's done. How do you know? Maybe it takes you a year to find out. How do you do it? You test. Right? You have to test. Teachers like to test their students sometimes, you know? You do. Is that right? Every once in a while they like to test their students. They want to see how they react. You know, would you like to come out in a canoe with me out to the lake? And you'll see some students, no way! Not on your life! No. We'll go sailing together. Not on your life! You want to see a scared student? I just said, how would you like to go sailing with me? No way. You see? So you never know. It's in the unusual situation is where you see if the die is still there. You see if the die is still there. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. I really enjoy this. It's a funny story. Maybe not so long ago, but I used to live with, you know, many times in my life, live with Namgyal Rinpoche. And one day, every day I come back and forth from the Dharma Center and come back home. And one day I noticed the garage door. You know the garage door where you enter? Is not the garage door, but the door into the house is locked. It's a very unusual situation, right? So I thought, maybe Rinpoche, he is resting, he's sleeping. So I'll be quiet. And then I hear footsteps. Footsteps. And you know there's curtains there, right? Little curtains, the little window, curtains. Rinpoche says, what are you doing? I go, I'm trying to get in the house. He goes, oh, he opens the door. He starts yelling at me. You, right? I'm saying, what? And he's really going at it, you know? Really, really completely. I'm going, what? He's going, and Terry's beginning to laugh, you know? He's around the corner laughing. He's laughing. And Rich says, just try. You never knew when, you know? So it's important. It's when you get into difficult situations is when the raga, the dye, comes back. You want to see if the dye is gone. Is it real? Is this teaching real? Not theoretical. You know, I've experienced nirvana. Oh, this is good. I get a double. That's significant. Oh. This is, I got three, you see? I have experienced nirvana. I am at peace. Brothers. My brothers and sisters, I am at peace. Peace of what? I'm just kidding. Would you like to go to the city? No! Would you like to hold my cockroach? No! You know cockroach?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No! Ah! Or there is a bug. Ah, it's a bug! You know, something like that. Do you see? So it's when you get into difficult situations is when you see that there is still raga. There still dies. And you need to more purification. It's good. Good. So the professional practitioner, professional yogi or yogini or yogi, they go to difficult places to test themselves. Not because the teacher tells them to, but they go to a difficult place to test them, to the city. In the retreat, 1 year, it's perfect, you know? 1 year, it's perfect. Everything's great. Then they go to a bar, you know, a big bar, alcohol, drinks, you go to a bar where it's really loud. See how you do. Go take a job. See how you do. You test yourself. How do you do on the Autobahn? How do you do? It's very important. This is relinquishment, relinquishment, relinquishment. Is it actually gone? If it isn't gone, then you get to notice it and you work on it. You get to know. No, no, not ignore. Not ignore. So this is the 16 stages of breath meditation, of purification through breath. And anywhere in those 16, you can practice insight. Anywhere along. Even the first one, you can practice insight if you are clear enough to practice anicca, dukkha, anatta. But you see, this whole process is mostly training in a very clear, unobstructed mind. So when you get to number 13, 14, 15, 16, insight is very clear. There's no problem with meditating on vipassana. Why? Because your mind is trained. That's it, really. Now this, to me, is one of the greatest of all teachings ever, this paragraph. This contains such profound pith instruction. This is a beautiful one. This is out of the greater Four Foundations of Mindfulness teaching. But I want you to study this. Keep this and study it. Because every single word is important. It shows the high level of the path. It is absolutely fantastic. There's so much in here for years and years of meditation. And it tells you exactly what is required for liberation, how liberation occurs. And I think one of the most important is that there is body present to him just the extent necessary for knowledge and awareness. You need no more. You keep it simple. Stay simple. Don't get complicated. Stay simple. What is knowledge and awareness? Fantastic. Any questions? Let's learn. Oh, that's it. Just a few more minutes. Any questions? Very short, so this weekend. Does that understand about purification? Did you understand more about purification then? The process of purification?
Yes.
Fading.
Yes.
Dissolving away. Dissolving. Through awareness. But it can't, you see, this is a difficulty today. I hear this 100 times a year. Listen to the language that's happened now in popular meditation. Watch the breath. Watch. Observe. Right? It doesn't liberate. This is so common now. People say, so you want me just to watch the breath? Or just observe the mind. No. Doesn't liberate. Does not liberate. You need insight. You have to see anicca, dukkha, anatta. That liberates. That's awareness. Watching is not. There's not enough edge, you see? Sword? Watching is too soft. There's not enough edge. You know edge? Like a knife? You can't cut the butter. You try to cut a butter. You can cut the butter with a spoon, but it's not the best thing, you know? You cut butter with a spoon? It's not the best thing to do. Is take a spoon and go... It doesn't work very well. You want a knife for the butter. Right? Make sense? You need something sharp enough. Being observing for most people is not sharp enough because the edge is not sharp enough to cut through the peel of the orange. It's not sharp enough. There's not enough juice, there's not enough energy to cut through. So that's purification. You need a sharp knife. But it better be underneath. So this is why you see on the front of the book, the booklet, you see the picture here? We're going to have this redrawn in the next edition. We only made 20. This is the first edition. So the next edition, we have an artist. She's going to make a really, really good one of this. But you see, this is an important symbol. You have the lotus, soft, peace, unfolding. The book, to study, contemplate. And the sword, the edge. You need all three. You need the foundation of love, foundation of kindness, foundation of support. You need to study, you need to contemplate, you need to get involved, the interest, hear Dharma, and you need the sword to cut through the rind. Not the rind, the rind. Okay? You need to cut through. And then you can taste. And that's why I put this on here, because very important symbol. This one here. This is Manjusri. You need all three. All three. I like doing that. You need all three. Okay. Okay. So we'll have a break this evening. Actually, no. Whoever's here tonight, I will come. I'm not going to give a class so much, but more meditation. Just meditate, okay? Mm-hmm. Tonight. And we'll start with a bit of compassion, then we'll enter into mindfulness of breath. Mindfulness of breath for a while. And then tomorrow morning I'll give a class. And then I think for the rest of the day I will come and sit in the evening, but that's it. And then we'll a bit more of meditation and see people. Things like that. Okay?
And what time tomorrow morning?
Oh, let's make it. You can do a session of Feldenkrais tomorrow. Or awareness and movement. Same time, eight to nine, mm-hmm. About 9:15. Give a short class. Good. And then, of course, what day is the Wong course? Saturday, is that?
Friday.
Friday morning. You're all welcome to come to the Wong course, and then I'll give teaching on that. Okay.
Friday morning.
Good. Let's share the merit. Let us spread and celebrate whatever riches we've developed together. By this powerful practice that we do together, may it liberate all beings. Nante punikamang asawaki wahang ho tu. Nante punikamang asawaki wahang ho tu. Nante punikamang asawaki wahang ho tu. May all beings be well and happy. And may all beings be established in a continuum of freedom, perfect union of compassion and wisdom. Good. Great. Oh, you're welcome. It's fun. Welcome. Good. Okay, I'm going to stay here. Is that okay if I stay here?
Of course.
And then anybody who wants to see me for a few minutes, because I know some people have to leave by 5, I will stay here and happy to see whoever. Okay?
And
I might even talk to you. Not just see you, I may talk to you. It's possible. It's just possible.
I don't know when people need the kitchen, but maybe whenever that is, if you still...
By 5 o'clock? When does the kitchen need it? 5:30?
5:30.
It shall be.
Great.
Okay.